From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans as he brings the next portion of a message entitled Saluting Servants of the Gospel and Separating from Subverters, an exposition of chapter 16. This final chapter of Romans is often overlooked in the course of Bible reading. It appears to be nothing but a list of names that have little relevance to present-day Christians. Yet, as Dr. Cairns is explaining, there are important lessons in Paul's closing comments to the Roman believers. The chapter reveals that there were a number of churches in that great city, providing a powerful testimony in the midst of a pagan society. In spite of the diversity of class and culture, the believers in these churches were displaying the qualities of love and unity. They provide us with a powerful example for our churches in this age. Dr. Cairns will resume the message in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. Grow up into him in all things. Many Christians remain stunted and dwarfed in spiritual things, so as to present the same appearance year after year. No upspringing of advanced and refined feeling is manifest in them. They exist, but do not grow up into him in all things. But should we rest content with being in the green blade, when we might advance to the ear, and eventually ripen into the full corn in the ear? Should we be satisfied to believe in Christ, and to say, I am safe, without wishing to know in our own experience more of the fullness which is to be found in him? It should not be so. We should, as good traders in heaven's market, covet to be enriched in the knowledge of Jesus. It is all very well to keep other men's vineyards, but we must not neglect our own spiritual growth and ripening. Why should it always be winter time in our hearts? We must have our seed time, it is true. But oh, for a springtime, yea, a summer season, which shall give promise of an early harvest. If we would ripen in grace, we must live near to Jesus, in his presence, ripened by the sunshine of his smiles. We must hold sweet communion with him. We must leave the distant view of his face and come near, as John did, pillow our head on his breast. Then shall we find ourselves advancing in holiness, in love, in faith, in hope, yea, in every precious gift. As the sun rises first on mountain tops and gilds them with his light, and presents one of the most charming sights to the eye of the traveler, so is it one of the most delightful contemplations in the world to mark the glow of the Spirit's light on the head of some saint who has risen up in spiritual stature like Saul above his fellows, till, like a mighty Alp, snow-capped, he reflects first among the chosen the beams of the Sun of Righteousness, and bears the sheen of his effulgence high aloft for all to see, and seeing it, to glorify his Father which is in heaven.
Will be my
As you listen to today's broadcast, we'd like to express our appreciation to those of you who make Let the Bible Speak a regular part of your day. Over the years since LTBS has been on the air, we've heard from many folk who have been blessed and encouraged in their Christian lives through these programs. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to bring this Christ-centered preaching into your home, vehicle, or workplace. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, whose messages you hear on the broadcasts, LTBS is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak International, which is produced in Northern Ireland. It may be that you've wondered about the origin and purpose of the Free Presbyterian Church. Stated briefly, the Free Presbyterian Church is a denomination that stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers around the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, please contact Faith Free Presbyterian Church at their toll-free number 888-483-2408. That's 888-483-2408. Or you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Someone from the church will be glad to get in touch with you and to provide you with further details. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org.
Notice immediately that the church at Rome consisted of a number of congregations, and they seem to have been house congregations. Most commentators see five of them, and they take verse 5, where we read about the church in the house of Priscilla and Aquila, then verse 10, where we have the household of Aristobulus, verse 11. where we have the household of Narcissus. We have verse 14, where we have a list of people and the brethren which are with them. And then we have verse 15, another list of people and the saints which are with them. You have five groups that are mentioned here as worshiping the Lord in the city of Rome. Five house congregations in all probability. Now, I'm tempted, but you know that I never succumb to these temptations. I am tempted to take time just to draw attention to the vast disparity between the original Church of Rome and what has developed as the Church of Rome. With all the man-made, Satan-inspired pomp and pageantry, all to impose the senses of the carnal mind, while imposing upon the conscience the viciousness of total anti-Christianity. There is a wonderful disparity between the Church of Rome as it is in Scripture and that which has assumed that title and imposed itself on the world as the mother of all churches. You will see something else here. Paul clearly sees this church in the city as one church. The message to them would have no meaning, and the instructions to them would have no meaning, were he to see it as anything else but one church. Not five churches. Oh, there's the church in their house, and there's the church in their house, and there's the saints worshipping here, and the brethren worshipping there. Remember, they had no temples, they had no church buildings. That's the way early Christians had to worship. And so, while he recognizes these numerous congregations, yet there's one church. While it is true that you can't make too much of this, yet I think you can say this is certainly not independency, but interdependency. One church distributed through numerous congregations. And though you don't read the word Presbyterian here, that's what you've got. One church. That's the genius of Presbyterianism. One church distributed over a number of congregations. That's a pattern that is certainly here in Romans chapter 16. It's interesting to me when you read the names here that this is a church that was made up of Jews and Gentiles. The names, some of them are Latin, some of them are Greek, and some of them are Hebrew names. Now, you can't make too much of the names in that some people of one national or ethnic background often went by a name that originated in another ethnic background. But nonetheless, the inclusion of Hebrew, Latin, and Greek names does remind us of something that we learned earlier in the epistle, that this is a church made up of Jews and Gentiles. Now, there were deep differences that Jews and Gentiles brought into the church. We looked at some of these when we were studying Romans chapter 14. There were deep differences. We come from different backgrounds into the church. None of us comes without baggage. We all carry the baggage of our background. And people who boast that they are above being in any way prejudiced by what they have been used to, what they were brought up to, they're usually the most prejudiced. Just as people who say, we don't have any creed but the Bible, they are the most addicted to creeds. Man-made creeds. Their own little creed. And because they walk outside the mainstream of historic creedal Christianity, they create their own. You find this among so many of God's people. We're not prejudiced, but yes, we are. We bring a lot of difference in. But I want you to notice this. These people were united in one church. The Jews and the Gentiles. And yet they with, to use the words of 15 verse 6, with one mind and one mouth, they were glorifying the Lord together. When I read this chapter, I'm impressed by how this church enjoyed the ministry of many eminently qualified and energetic men and women. You go down this list, what an array of willing and able workers were in the Church of Rome. Here you read of people who were helpers in the work. You'll read of people who were risking their lives, laying down their necks. And that was no mere poetical license that Paul was taking. He was giving a very real description of the dangers that these people were taking in order to establish the gospel through his ministry. Here we read of people who bestowed much labor. Others who labored in the Lord. Others who labored much in the Lord. All in one church. This is of course far from a complete list. This is just a list of people that Paul either knew or who had been introduced to him through the testimony of others. No doubt there were many more, but they are a cross-section of the church in Rome. And what an eminently energetic bunch of people they were. Anything further from the pew-warming Christian of the 21st century who uses church as a crutch on the Sabbath day and then runs with the world with hardly a thought of the work of God for the rest of the week would be difficult to imagine. These were people utterly, absolutely, totally committed to the work of God in that church. Now, they weren't what we would call full-time ministers. Some of them, and I'm not going into the details here, some of them, by the wording, may have been what we would call full-time, at least at a time. Some of them at times may have been on missionary journeys, but most of them weren't. Yet they're so utterly committed to the work. You find also that it's notable how many women are noted among them. There are 8 or possibly 9. I would say 9, but it all depends on whether Junia in verse 7 is a man or a woman. And that argument revolves around the etymology of the name. We're, again, not going to get into that tonight. But I think the preponderance of evidence is that it was a woman. How many women are here? We start off with a woman who was just coming into the church, Phoebe, a sister, a servant. It's the same word as a deacon. Don't think it indicates that she was elected to the office. It's the usual word for a servant. But she was going there to serve the cause of the church in Cenchrea. And you'll notice what it said about her, that she had been a succorer of many. And of myself also. And that's just the beginning. You go down the line of these eminent men and women. Happy indeed the church that has people like this. People so totally dedicated to the work of God. This church obviously epitomized the love and the unity of the early church. I have mentioned that there were Jews and there were Gentiles in it. As well as that, the names that are given here and the terminology that's used here leads most students, and I think rightly, to the conclusion that among these people are a number of slaves or of freed slaves. Now, get this in context. This is written to the church in Rome. Remember that under Roman law, a slave had no more, indeed might well have had less right than a dog. And yet the Apostle Paul is writing here, and along with Priscilla and Aquila and others of such mighty stature in the early church, he sets the slaves who have been bought with the blood of the Lamb and who have been installed in the fellowship of the Church of Jesus Christ in Rome. And the picture that is painted here is of these people forgetting their religious background distinctions, forgetting their cultural differences, forgetting their social differences, and every difference and every distinction that would come from every and any kind of worldly status. We see them humbly and unitedly gathered round the feet of the living, loving Lord Jesus Christ. And to me, that is one of the most beautiful pictures in the New Testament. When the Lord Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have loved one for another." Remember again the society and the world against which he said this. The backdrop of that statement is that world that I've just described, ruled by Rome, and Christ knew that his gospel's going out and it's going to take the slave owner and the slave, and it's going to bring the rich and the poor, the high and the mighty in the one hand, the downtrodden in the other hand, and it's going to bring them together, and it's going to equalize them at the feet of the Savior. And they are going to show the world, for the first time, the power of the love of Christ, the power of redeeming grace. The church epitomized by love and by unity. In comparison to that, there's not a distinction of class or creed or color or culture or anything that we come across in America that is even comparable in magnitude. Why then, do churches today find it so difficult to experience and exercise the loving unity that binds the people of God together at the feet of Christ?
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.